Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. This is the reading of God's Word. Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word so our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only hear your word, but understand and believe and obey your word. Oh, Father, we pray that Jesus Christ will be exalted, and all of us will hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like I say to you every time we begin the sermons on Luke, that through Luke, what we are looking at is our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. Through his works and teachings, he witnesses the reality of that kingdom. And he taught his disciples and us the Lord's Prayer. And from verse 5 now, he continues to teach about the prayer, but he does that through a parable. And even through this teaching about the prayer, Jesus is witnessing our heavenly reality, what is true of us because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. What is true of us because of our salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished. So we begin at verse 5. Then he said to them, Jesus says to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and said, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, when you read these passages, it's very hard to say this word he, who he is referring to. There are many people involved in this. Suppose you have a friend and his friend comes to him from a journey and he has nothing to give his friend. So he goes to his another friend to borrow 3 loaves of bread. It is already midnight and all the children are already in bed. But even so, his other friend gets up to give him what he had asked for. And the passage says that the reason for his other friend to get up and give what your friend had asked for is, verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, if you read, and I don't know what translation you have, but if you read my translation, that other friend does not get up because your friend is his friend, but because of his persistence. Now, we have, like NASB, has the word as persistence. And if we understand the word as persistence, then we could conclude that his friend has given the bread because your friend continued and never gave up in asking, even though his friend did not want to give him the bread initially. And if you read it like that, then we could falsely conclude that the teaching here is for us to persistently ask God, even though initially God might not want to grant our request, but our persistence or persistency will even change God's mind. But we know that that is not a biblical teaching. And I keep telling you that Bible is written in a such way that unless God gives you true understanding, you're going to misunderstand. The prayer is not about changing God's mind. I mean, it's not like God did not want to give you, but you come to Him and you keep asking and asking and asking. So God says, okay, I changed my mind. Do you believe that's truth? But so many people understand it that way. And it's written this way deliberately. Let me say it. God does not change His mind. Period. And let us begin with that. God does not change His mind. Now, I don't want to get into detail about this subject. But God did change His response to His people based on sin. But that's not God changing. But way He responded to Adam before sin and way He responded to Adam after sin, obviously it's different. But we don't say God now changed. God does not change, and He does not change His mind. So God does not change His mind initially not wanting to do what we ask, but because of our persistency in our prayers that He will change His mind. This is not biblical teaching. Everything is according to God's plan. And He planned everything even before the creation. It's not because you persistently pray that somehow, even though God planned something before the foundation of the universe, but because you pray so hard, that He changes His mind. That is not what the Bible teaches. He planned everything even before the creation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, "Do not be like them," meaning non-believers, "for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." God already knows what we need. God already knows what we will ask. We have already learned that we must pray according to His will. Through prayer, we change our minds according to His will that He has revealed to us through His Word. And that is why God taught us the Lord's Prayer, so that we will pray according to His will. Not that we pray so persistently so we could change God's mind. No. Now, of course, we must pray continually and persistently. That's not, we're not against that. And when we get to Luke chapter 18, the teaching there is actually about praying persistently. But we pray persistently to know the will of God. It is never about changing God's mind. If we know that it is not God's will, then we stop praying about it. So as you keep praying, and as you read the Bible, as you thinking about what you're asking, God will give you insight on what His will is. And once you know His will, that it is not God's will to give certain things that you are asking to give you, then why would you continue to pray? Even after you know that God doesn't want you to pray about it, you continue to pray? The Apostle Paul, when God gave him what he called a thorn in his flesh, and we don't know exactly what this is. Some people say it's his eye problem. Some people, anyway, it's all speculation. We don't know what that is. But there was a thorn in his flesh. And this is what we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. "Three times," Paul said, "three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But after praying for three times, he knew the will of God is for him to endure it. Because he heard God's voice saying, 'My grace is sufficient for you.' And even though it continued to bother him, he stopped praying about it. After three times, he realized what God's will is. And his will is he stopped praying. And that's what we do. We pray and we ask God to show us His will through His Word. And as you study His Word, you realize, oh, God doesn't want me to have this kind of stuff. And once you know that, you stop. How can we pray continually even when you know that God doesn't want you to have it? That's just going against God's will. Deliberately going against God's will. But we do. I do. That's how sinful we are. But what I'm saying is that this passage is not teaching you. Just continue to pray to change God's mind. That's my point. Now, Jesus was praying at the Mount of Gethsemane. And this is what we read, Matthew 26, verse 44. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, again three times here, Jesus, saying the same thing about removing the cup if it is God's will, but your will be done. So after three times he prays, he really understands, he realized that it is God's will for him to die. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." He realized that that's what's going to happen. That was God's will, that he will be captured and he will be killed. But he did pray three times. But always asking that God's will be done. So obviously this passage is not contradicting these things, saying that even though God did not want to give us initially, that we pray continually so that God will change his mind. So get that kind of thinking out of your head. Because that's not biblical. When God's will is revealed to us, then we are to obey his will with joy. We are not to just continue to pray as if we could change God's mind. When it is revealed to us very clearly that it is not God's will, how can we continue to pray that God would do what is not his will? How can we do that? Just because we want it. And even in our passage, there's nothing about the friend asking many times. There's nothing like that in our passage. Or knocking on the door numerous times. It doesn't say anything about that. Well then, what is the teaching of our passage then? The Greek word that is translated as a persistence can be translated as shameless or boldness. NIV has it, boldness. ESV has it, impudence. The others have it, shameless persistence. The word can mean impudence, audacious, shameless. And this is what we need to understand as a sinner. Coming out to and asking God to give something is a shameless act. That's the first thing we need to understand. I give this kind of example. I know examples are not good. That's why I don't give examples that many times. But let's say, you know, this, I say this so many times, right? Let's say you're going to be killed by a big truck. It's coming at you. But someone is running up to you and pushes you aside, and he dies by the truck. Now, you go to his house. You go to his house and ask the mother, "Hey, you know, he died for me. Now, can you give me this and that? Can you even think you're doing that?" The mother just lost son. And here you are coming to her and asking more. Shameless. That's what our prayer is like. Do you understand? Jesus gave His life for us. And here we are, keep on asking more and more and more. And yet, not only God allows us to do it, it's His will to hear our prayers. This is amazing grace. So first thing we need to understand, as a sinner coming out to God and asking God to give you something, is a shameless act. But because of what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us, the heaven has been accomplished and God has become our Father, that we are now able to come to God shamelessly and pray to Him. This is the blessing that we enjoy. Jesus is witnessing the reality of new era in which the sinners like us are able to come to God as His sons, come to Him boldly to pray to God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19, therefore brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Our Lord is teaching that kind of heavenly reality has been accomplished. This kind of salvation has been accomplished. That's what He's showing through this. Amazing grace. How blessed we are that we are able to come to God boldness, with boldness and shameless, and ask Him. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Our Lord continues to teach us what kind of heavenly reality has been accomplished for us. The era in which we ask, seek, and knock has come for us. We pray to God, and we seek God, and we come to God. When we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. And when we knock, it will be opened. This kind of heavenly reality has been accomplished for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to understand how blessed we are. Matthew 21 verse 22, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. John chapter 14 verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. You see, this kind of heavenly reality has been accomplished for us. This is what is true of us. We ask, He will give. But we believe, by faith, believing what we're asking is God's will, He will give. Amazing grace. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, meaning you're sinner, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I mean, it's obvious. I don't have to really explain to you. No father would give a snake when his son asks for a fish. No father would give a scorpion when his son asks for an egg. Even these fathers who are sinners, they know how to give good gifts to their children. Then how much more will your heavenly Father give you? You do not trust our Heavenly Father. You think He's holding out on you. Is that how you live? Is that your attitude as you live? Man, I asked so many times, but my God doesn't give me anything. Is it true? That's not what the Bible is saying. That's just how you think, and you're thinking wrong. See, that is the point. The focus here is that it is joy of our God, joy for our God to give us the good things. We have wrong picture of God so many times that He's not willing to give. He doesn't enjoy giving things to you. He's withholding things from you. That is not the biblical picture of our God. Our God enjoys. He loves to give you good things. This is what the Bible is teaching. But this passage does not teach that our God will give everything that we ask. Even the sinners, the earthly fathers, would not give their sons snakes if their son asked for it. Do you get the point? Yes, when you ask fish, he will not give you a snake. But if you ask snake, he still not give you a snake. That's the point. Why? Because it is dangerous. Because it is harmful. It doesn't help you. But the earthly fathers, many times, they do not know what is truly good or harmful. But our God is perfect God, all-knowing and all-powerful, and He loves us. So we could trust Him to make the best decision when it comes to give or not to give what we ask for. Yet sometimes we do not understand why certain things that happens to us are good for us, but God says He will only give you good things. And if you cannot trust God in that, then I don't know what your view of your God is. Well, He's just there to make you miserable? Is that what your view of your God is? Is that why He doesn't give you what you're asking? But God said, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must believe. Believe that whatever God is doing in our lives is good for us. Even though you don't feel it, even though you don't understand, you trust God. Oh, this is nonsense to non-believers. You go out in the world and say this kind of stuff, they're going to think, oh, you're brainwashed. But I know my God. I trust Him. I know He only gives me good things. And I know that when I ask Him to give me a snake, He will not give. Even though I again and again ask Him, He will not give. He knows that's not good for me. I trust my God. At least that much I trust. I know He loves me. Why would He give me things that is not good for me? Just because I ask? Is that how you treat your kids when you raise them? When they keep on asking, give me candy, you go, okay, I'll give you candy. No, you say no. Because you know it's not good for them. God will do the same. That's why I ask, but he doesn't give. I go, oh, it must not be good for me, and I move on. I don't think God is somebody who just want to give me miserable life. That's not what I believe. But like I said, sometimes I have to ask, why is this good for me? It doesn't make any sense, but I will know this much, that later when I see him face to face, I will realize how that was good for me, even though I don't think it was good. And Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He gave his own son. What would he withhold from us? What would he spare when it comes to giving to us? What would he hold out from us? It is not about God not wanting to give things to us. He does not give because it is harmful to us. And James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasure, which will result in bad. This is why God taught us the Lord's Prayer, so that you may pray according to His will, that you may pray for actually good things for you. So we must understand the Lord's Prayer. And we studied it. So we must pray accordingly. The prayer that is according to His will. And when we pray according to His will, when we pray in His name, which means whatever you're praying for is worthy of His name. Because you are praying in His name. And you are praying according to His will. Then, Bible clearly says, God will give it to you. Guaranteed. When we pray according to His will, when we pray in His name, when we pray by faith, God will do all we ask. That's what the Bible says. That kind of salvation has been accomplished for all of us. That's why we're so happy, living this life with happiness. It's when you start wanting the world, and you are asking things that is not according to God's will. It's by your greed. Oh, then there's conflict. And it's so difficult for you to be truly happy. But trust what God says. We ask, He will give. Period. Jesus is witnessing the reality in which we, the sinners, who are saved out of sin and became God's sons, and God causes us to forsake this world, and causes us to pray according to God's will, and God answers all of our prayers. Our heavenly reality has been accomplished. That's how we're going to be in heaven. And obviously, when you get to heaven, you're not going to ask for something that is not according to His will. And whatever you ask, God will give you. That life has already begun. That's what our life is all about in Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to be very happy. And as I get older and older, it just, God just causes me to believe more and more. And I am able to just trust God. His will be done, and He will not do anything that is harmful for me. Even if I die, somehow it's good for me. I'm laughing because I... Thank you, Andrew. John chapter 16, verse 23. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. There is no prayer in the Old Testament which was prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is witnessing that the new era in which God's people will pray in the name of Jesus Christ has come. And when you pray in His name, when you pray for things that is worthy of His name, you are living in an era in which God will give you whatever you ask. I'm so happy. I don't have to worry about anything. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Everything prayed according to His will, God will hear us. And lastly, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you, those who ask Him? Jesus is witnessing that the new era in which God gives the Holy Spirit has come, meaning heaven has been accomplished. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, moreover, I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you heart of flesh. The new era in which God gives the new spirit, the Holy Spirit, another means the messianic kingdom has been accomplished, the heaven has come. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and it shall be in that last day, God says that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That day has come, meaning the end has come. And the Holy Spirit was poured out to all of us, and through His word we prophesy, we see visions. That day has come. And He says, God gives the Holy Spirit. And when we read John chapter 14, verse 16, this is very important. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. It says that Jesus will pray to the Father. Jesus will ask the Father. Jesus is the one who truly asks, who truly seeks, and who truly knocks according to the will of God. He is the only one who truly pray according to the will of the Father. And we pray participating in his perfect prayer. His prayer is accepted by God, obviously. But our prayers are accepted by God only in Christ, united with the prayers of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer. And much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints in the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which the prayers of the saints, went up before God out of the angel's hand. Here, smoke of the incense. You know, in the Old Testament, right in front of the Holy of Holies, there was the incense. They burned the incense. It symbolizes a prayer. But what John is seeing is a heavenly picture. There is this smoke of incense. It points to the prayer of the chief priest, meaning that it points to the prayer of Jesus Christ. And the prayer of saints are united with this prayer, Jesus' prayer, and went up before God. That's the picture. Our prayer reached God, united with the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our spiritual reality. It's not because you pray sincerely or you pray whatever that God just accepts your prayer or hears your prayer. No, only reason that he hears your prayer is that you are in Christ. That your prayers are mixed with Jesus' prayer, united with his prayer, and that's why it reaches God. So our job is to find out what kind of prayer that our Lord is praying, so that when our prayer is united to that prayer, that it will be the same kind of prayer. How can you mix your prayer that is completely not according to his will with Jesus' prayer? And when you pray according to your sinful desire, that's what happens. And that's not how things work. No wonder God says, you ask, but you don't get it. Because it never reaches God. Understand the Revelation passage. God receives our prayer in Jesus Christ. John chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the coming and giving of the Holy Spirit by God, first, Jesus must go away. Jesus must go to the Father first. But to do so, Jesus must die and resurrect from the dead. Thus, the giving of the Holy Spirit is accomplished by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when God says, it's time for I send the Holy Spirit, you realize, oh, that means Jesus has died and he has resurrected. That all salvation has been accomplished. That's why that happens. So here, when Jesus says, God will give you Holy Spirit, he's saying, I'm going to accomplish the eternal salvation. I will die, and I will resurrect, and I will go to Father. Then the Holy Spirit will come. Giving of the Holy Spirit is accomplished by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus accomplishes all things. And through and by all of his accomplishments, we are now able to come to God boldly and shamelessly. And the heavenly reality in which we ask God, God gives. When we seek, we find. And when we know, and when we knock, God opens, is now given to us. And we now possess the Holy Spirit and live the life that belongs to heaven. We now participate in the life of asking and seeking and knocking Jesus Christ. Thus, we pray diligently and we seek God and we come to our God. And we too give ourselves to those who ask and seek and knock us. Brothers and sisters, understand this and believe. All our prayers according to God's will. Our prayers like the Lord's Prayer. Spiritually speaking, they are all given, all found, and all open already for us. God's Word is not lying to us. When we ask, it's given. When we seek, it's found. And when we knock, it's opened. You have to believe. You have to believe. Oh, brothers and sisters, how blessed we are. Spiritually speaking, all our prayers are according to God's will. They are all given, all found, and all open already. And one day that reality will be visibly consummated. We talk about how God only gives us which are good for us, but when Jesus Christ bore our sins and died on that cross, when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God refused to hear his prayer because he was bearing our sins. Even though death was not good for him, God did not hear his son's prayer. Understand this, brothers and sisters, God will not, God does not hear the prayers of the sinners. He doesn't. But God hears our prayers. This means that the problem of our sin is completely and perfectly solved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you are sinners, but in Christ you are righteous. This is why he will hear your prayer. All those sinners who went to hell, they could cry out. Really doesn't matter how many times they could cry out, God will not hear them. Just like how God did not hear his own son's prayer on the cross. Because he was bearing our sins. Let me end. How blessed are you? Our lives are all about asking, seeking, and knocking the will of God. Our lives are all about seeking, asking, and knocking Jesus Christ. And in Jesus we receive, we find, and all is open for us. This is what our life is all about. How blessed we are. Oh, brothers and sisters, believe. Only by faith. You are able to be happy. And when not lived by faith, your life will be filled with dissatisfaction. And you're going to have a picture of God in your heart, your sinful heart, not wanting to give you anything. And he's just there to make you miserable. Don't be like that. Because that's not the picture that the Bible draws for us of our God. He's happy to give you all the good things. Amen. Please let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh, Father, forgive us. forgive us that many times in our lives that we have wrong picture of you, not according to your word. But Father, let us believe your word, how you are so happy to give us all the good things. And when we ask, you will give. When we seek, by your grace we'll find, and when we knock, it is already open for us. Let us live by faith. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.